Good time to check in with AJ. They had the walk-off win, the 15 runs the day before. AJ, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Which one's more fun, scoring 15 runs or getting the walk-off?
Oh, how about probably 15 runs? I mean, the walk-off is stressful. We didn't score until late in the game, and then obviously the joy with when the inning kind of develops the way it does, we get a big hit. But you sit in my chair and you like the 15 run on a Scooble day? Are you kidding me? I'll take that stress-free night any given night.
Well, you mentioned the Scooble day, and as we look at the projected starters, you've got Montero, you've got Scooble, and it looks like Fajardo tonight, but you've got three starts in there where you're trying to find a rhythm. How difficult has it been you with so many bullpen days to find a rhythm with the pitching staff?
You know, it's been fine, and I need to clarify, like, it's not really a bullpen day when you have a pitcher that throws five-plus with Sammons or when Maeda does it or, you know, with Herter. You know, I think it's just the sequencing. It's the order of which we're going with an opener. And then I know it looks like bullpen days and like it's taxing a bullpen. It's actually not. We have our starters. We're breaking them in slowly. When you look at Salmon, trying to not give him the middle of the order three times. When you look at Herter, who's had first inning trouble in the minor leagues, we're trying to get him, you know, kind of acclimated to the big leagues. Maeda has really found his niche. I don't really want to mess with it. He's going to start here one of the next couple starts, I'm sure. But, like, so I think it's just more, like, visually what it looks like in a box score. I don't think it's been a bullpen days. That's probably been overused in terms of describing it. I haven't done a great job of articulating that. I don't really want Scott Servais to know that we're going to go to Maeda today. I'd like him to wonder if it's Maeda versus Herter. You know, there's some competitiveness there. But we've done fine with these games. I know it just – When you look online or you look at the starting rotation or the game notes and it doesn't have a listed starter, we have a guy who's doing a ton of innings. He's just not going first.
You guys sold at the deadline. I know deadlines can be tough on a clubhouse, but to you guys' credit, you haven't flatlined. You guys, despite not having a full rotation, are still playing competitive baseball. What could it be said, you know, the way that the clubhouse has responded post-deadline and maybe some of the goals that you have now to round out the year?
Yeah, we had a little lull there around the deadline, you know, when we scratched Jack Flaherty before the deadline, and then there was a lot of anticipation that the day of the deadline, we were the only team playing during that day or the only game. And that, I felt it a little bit with our team, and there was this sort of hold your breath and see what happens. And then Carson Kelly goes and Andrew Chafin goes and Jack Flaherty obviously goes. And, there was a lull right after that. And then collectively, we've just talked about, picking up the pieces. It creates opportunity for guys. It's going to create more opportunity moving forward the next 6 to 7 weeks. And we've still got to play competitive baseball. It still matters. Like, we still want to win as many games. We still have 500 in sight. We want to get to better times by getting some experience for guys. So I'm proud of our guys because we haven't sulked after those first couple days. It's our reality and where we're at. And had we played better in May and June, you know, maybe things would have been different. But it doesn't change the fact, like, we won a series against Seattle. We won a series against Cleveland. We've won a series. Now we won the second series against Seattle. They're in second place now. We have the Yankees coming in. So if you want to pout and complain and like you said, flatline, then you're going to get your ass kicked. So I think it's important that we stand up for ourselves and we're evaluating, you know, every day on what and who is next for the Tigers.
And I do want to talk to you about what and who is next and how that evaluation is going, but how about Kerry Carpenter? I mean, that's been a nice little injection of offense.
Yeah, I think it's just such a good reminder. I mean, obviously I none of us necessarily, you know, thought he was going to hit three homers in two games, but he's got that potential as we've seen time and time again. And it shows what we've missed in the middle of our order. Riley Green was in the middle of our order, you know, having to do a lion's share of work, and missing Carp just changes the dynamic. Colt Keith has really developed into a middle of the order bat. And so when Carp comes back and, you know, we put him in the two hole and Colt's right behind him, and you start to see the makings of a difficult lineup to get through, especially the last two nights. And that swing last night was a big jolt for all of us and got us back in that game. But it makes me both appreciate him, but also kind of like, damn, we missed him over the course of this summer and having him in the middle of that order.
could you give us an update on Torkelson? We see clips on social media. He hits the ball hard here, hits the ball there. I mean, that's a guy who, if he could get it going again, would also be in the heart of the order. Do you have an update? Yep. Is he closer to a call-up, anything like that?
Yeah, he's doing well. You know, I think it's we've tried, you know, to both publicly and privately with Tork, like, not get into, like, it's today the day. It's today the day. Like, he goes 3 for 4, it's today the day. He goes 0 for 5, then we push it back a couple of days. Like, we're not in a day-to-day evaluation of him. I do like some of the things that he's doing. And I met with him a couple of weeks ago just to kind of get his temperature, and the benefit of having Toledo here close by. And just seeing him in person, it was nice to get his evaluation of himself. And so he's taking steps, yes, absolutely. And he's a part of what we're doing. We do need the right-handed bat in the middle of the order. We need him. The stability that comes with a guy that plays every day. And that, I think baby steps, you know, time and time again. And I see that he's double digit homers. He's hitting the ball harder. You know, the swing and miss is still there, and it might be there as just part of his game when he's, you know, when he's trying to do so much damage. But emotionally, I think he's doing a lot better than he was a couple months ago when we sent him out. And that will be key when, you know, whenever he comes back to help us.
A guy that was sent down, called back up, then he had the hammy, Parker Meadows. What's different about his game now that he's been back up and now that he's healthy than before, other than just the things that we could see him making contact?
Yeah, I think just the ease in which he's playing. You know, I don't want to over-dramatize this, but I think players need a little bit of a breather here and there to adjust to this level. Last year, when he came up at the end of the year, it's great when guys get called up towards the end of the year. They get their feet wet, they get their routines down, they get to play at this level, the third deck, all the things that seem to impact the psyche of a player when you first make it. And then the next year when he came back, you know, the expectations are different. I was hitting him at the top of the order. I was really happy with his spring, and things started to speed up on him a little bit. Contact was minimal, you know, just wasn't using his tools to impact the game. And then as he goes down and kind of solidifies his stuff, he's done a nice job coming back up and not trying to do too much. And man, is it nice to have him in center field. He robs the homer in Seattle. Anytime the ball's hit to center, I expect him to catch it. And then with the bat, you know, I've settled him in like that 6-hole, 7-hole, somewhere down there, where if he can get on base, he can get to the bottom of the lineup and get on base and create some things. So I just think he's calm, he's under control, he's adjusting to this level, and things were moving a little fast for him at the beginning of the year, and it showed with his performance.
Talking to Tiger manager AJ Hinch, you mentioned in this next 6-7 weeks, figuring stuff out, establishing guys. We've brought up Carpenter, Torkelson, Parker Meadows. Colt Keith is a guy I know you guys are very high on, and he's playing better ball. You've said, you know, let's build the case for him rookie of the year this season. The betting market's not that you're concerned with that, like Colton Cowser or Luis Gill, but what is the case for Colt Keith the rest of the way here?
Yeah, I just think over the course of the season, you know, and obviously I'm biased because I've watched him go from some pretty good performance, no statistical performance at the beginning. He was hitting the ball hard. We asked him to do a ton at the beginning of the season, and then I've watched it steadily grow. You know, I just think he should be mentioned with the best rookies in the American League. I mean, when you look at, like you said, the Cowser and Gill are really good, and they're on big markets, and they're on, you know, first and second place teams. I just think our guy has really steadily gone month by month and gotten better and put up month after month of good performance. I mean, it's the scoreboard numbers don't really do him justice given how poorly he did at the beginning of the season statistically. But if you look at certain dates, I mean, he does sit up there with on base, with slug, with, you know, playing every single day. And now he's defending himself against lefties. I'm just very proud of him. And so I want him to get some attention on the season that he's having. I want him to finish strong. He needs to finish strong to get some of these votes. But I just don't want it to be cast off as like, you know, just a medium season, when in actuality, if you look past May, he's been pretty good and very consistent and playing probably arguably more than Cowser and, you know, Gill's a pitcher. So he's been in the rotation every 5 days.
I'd have these moments when I was playing throughout my career where whenever it becomes your job, it changes things. And then every once in a while, you'd have moments where you would have the realization that you're getting played, you're getting paid to play a game, especially a kid's game. And baseball evokes so many different emotions. You guys are playing on Sunday in Williamsport. How cool is Sunday for you guys?
It's incredibly cool. And our you know, there's been some Little League pictures passed around the clubhouse, and they're starting to get all the promotional stuff, you know, said, and guys are looking back at themselves when they were 11, 12 years old, and it does simplify things. I mean, when it becomes your job, it you know, you can get caught up in this routine and actually, you know, you got to pinch yourself. Like, we come to this stadium, Comerica, I'm sitting out in the dugout right now talking to you guys, and this is my office, you know, and so yeah. For me, you know, I've been in the league for a really long time in a lot of roles. Some players that have been here a long time. There's some rookies. Like if you do have to stop. And I think the Little League World Series game that we're going to get to play, and we're going to get to go over and watch them practice and play at the facility and interact with the players and the coaches. We play in a small stadium. I think it's only 6,000 or 7,000 people. Like that I'm looking forward to watching our guys like smile and realize that we're exactly where we wanted to be when we were that kid's age. Like, those kids are going to look at us like superheroes, and all we are baseball players or baseball coaches and baseball managers, but we're doing it at the highest level. And it all our love for the game all started around those kids' age. So I'm personally looking forward to it, and we'll all pop off about how good we were in Little League, and our team should have done this and done that. I've heard these stories this week. It's just really cool to humanize, you know, our job and realize we get to do something pretty cool for you know, on a day-to-day basis.
What are some of your Little League accolades?
Oh, we were dominant. Are you kidding me? We were I grew up in Oklahoma, and we were a regional away from the Little League World Series. I was a shortstop because everybody wanted to be a shortstop. I either wanted to be Dale Murphy growing up. I watched TBS and the Braves every night outside of Oklahoma City, or I wanted to be Pudge Rodriguez. And I wasn't even a catcher until high school, but I watched him come through the minor leagues. We had a AAA team for the Rangers. So you mimic. My Little League was full of like mimicking stances. I would try to take it into the game and, you know, the backyard baseball. And I was a pitcher and a shortstop and totally, you know, underdeveloped, big ears. You know, a lot of energy. Tried to play on as many teams as I could. Got my uniform dirty. Begged my mom to wash it so I could wear it the next day.
Yep.
That's what it's all about. AJ Hinch, this is a fun check-in. We appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
It's 97.1.